Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. As we're in the midst of this first month of 2022, we're looking at how the new year is a time for our own personal renewal and restoration. How might we practice self-care from a Catholic perspective? How do we keep Christ at the center of self-care practices and lean on Him in times when our mental health may be struggling? Joseph Lunston of Novare Catholic Counseling joins us today to explore this topic and offer some practical tips. Joseph, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Very good to be here.
Yes, thank you for joining us. So yeah. I want to start, I don't know that people need any kind of reminding of this, but what are some of the factors and influences in our time right here, right now, in January of 2022, that are influencing and perhaps threatening our mental health?
Yeah, that's a big question. There's a lot going on, I think. I think the biggest thing for us is I think would be technology screen time, right? I mean, it's a constant in all of our lives. And just the uncertainties of life. But I also think, I think especially in the country we live in, we have a lot of choices, which are good, but I think choices can ultimately bog us down. So I think as that pertains to what we choose, how to take care of ourselves, I think it matters. So, I mean, there's a lot. The list could go on.
Yeah, and I just presume that although we all thought that the pandemic was coming to an end, now we've seen the rise of the Omicron variant, and that really some of those same challenges from the pandemic are persisting as well, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, okay. Well, shifting then to how we take care of ourselves, I mean, interpretations of mental health and self-care can range between many things. You know, it can go from bubble baths to spending time in prayer, but I guess, first off, as Catholics, where's the balance between ends of the spectrum? Is there a spectrum?
Yeah, that's a good question, too. I would say not to have to feel like we have to neglect any part of us. You know, I mean, we have separate parts that make up our being, and it's important to take account of those things and to take care of those things. So I don't think it has to be necessarily a battle, but I think it's always good to just do a general assessment. I like to think of the analogy of, like, you know, we all get that report on our phone of, like, screen time usage and, like, how what percentage we're using what apps. So I think, like, if we apply that to our lives, right, in our self-care, I think it can be a useful framework to say, okay, like, is 90% of my self-care bubble bath? And then, you know, if that was the case, you might want to adjust a little bit. I think everything should serve our spiritual life, right? So I think bubble baths can be a part of that, right? And you think of Thomas Aquinas would have something to say on that. But so I don't think it has to be a battle necessarily as much as just doing a general assessment of, okay, where am I allotting my time to take care of myself, and how is that maybe ultimately working towards my spiritual life?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I appreciate your thoughts on that. Thank you for that. Now, I'm just curious too about the different aspects. You said making sure that we're not neglecting any specific part of ourselves. Well, of course, our Catholic faith would teach us that we are soul and body, so we do need to look after the soul. We need to look after the body. So, hence, you know, prayer and bubble baths could be both a good thing. But
what about
other factors? Things like the intellect. I mean, you probably want to exercise the mind as well. You want to, you probably want to exercise relationship as well. Yeah. Any other thoughts along those lines?
No. Yeah. I mean, that's a great point. I think we need relationships, especially with the aftermath of everything going on with COVID. Right. I think the world understood that in a big way, and so I think prioritizing our social reality is necessary. I mean, you know, even in our relationship with God, right? I think as beings, we don't exist outside of relationship, right? Whether that is with God or with others. And so I think you're spot on there. And I think, just like you said, the intellect as well, right? We have that creative need and that desire to learn and grow. And I think that needs to be taken care of just as much as, say, our body and doing bubble baths.
Right, right. Well, I think that we can be tempted to feel, that really the responsibility for our mental health lies solely with us. But again, clearly as Catholics and people who are at least in word and in theory, are relying on the Lord for everything. I mean, a lot of it relies on Him as well, too, right? So how do we break out of this mold of thinking, well, it just all relies on us? Any thoughts there?
Yeah, I think maybe just to simplify as best I could, because that's such a big question. It's a great question. I would say just make space. I think we fill our lives with so much, and sometimes we just don't leave enough room, if that makes sense. And so obviously God ordains all things. He's with us and all, but the more we can sort of unplug from everything else in our lives, and I'm not saying don't think about those things and take care of things in our life, but the more we can unplug, I think, and make space for Christ to be present in whatever that looks like in our lives, I think the more room we have for Him to be a part of those things.
Yeah, I think you're right there. So what about, to kind of steer towards the more practical, what can we look for in terms of warning signs that are some aspect of our being or some aspect of our mental health may not be going so well, whether it be, again, the spiritual, the physical, the intellectual, the relational? What are things that might crop up in our lives to start being warning signs that we need to take a closer look at this?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say start with maybe the basics, you know, like eat, your diet and your sleep regimen. You know, like when those two things are off, it's a good indication that everything else might start becoming off. But like you said too, I think taking note and being really mindful about your relationships, because there are a lot of stress in your relationships. Do you feel connected to the people in your life? And I would say the same, do an assessment of yourself. Really just try to take care and take note of, like, how am I? Am I feeling like there's a higher level of anxiety in myself or maybe depression than I'm normally feeling? And why would that be? I think just taking the time to really do an assessment on yourself and be mindful. You know, that bit word mindfulness is getting thrown around a lot, but I think it's good, and I think it's a useful tool that we can have to sort of bring that presence into our life.
Mm-hmm. And what if we start recognizing some of these signs in, say, another, like a friend or a loved one, a family member, and we see that, they seem to be off, they seem to be exhibiting more signs of anxiety or depression or something that's not quite who they usually are. Any suggestions on how we might broach the topic with them?
Yeah, I would say just you know, be brave enough to have the conversation. I would say seek that conversation with love, right? Because you might not know what's going on at all. And so just try to go in to learn, right, and to really take care rather than to fix. I think we want to, you know, we want to get into that fix-it mindset, especially when it's with people that we love.
Mm-hmm.
But oftentimes I think that disrupts the connection, right? And if we can just connect, right, and do it and learn about what maybe someone we're close to is struggling with, I think then we can figure out what we need to do next. But I think just how you approach that conversation is super important. But as long as it's done with openness and love, I think it's a good start.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And not that our listeners need reminding of this, but it might be worth mentioning too that this isn't, as you were saying, have the courage to have that. One of the things, have those conversations, one of the things that can really propel us in that is recognizing that, yeah, poor mental health, especially if left unchecked, can lead to some pretty dark places, right? You want to give
absolutely.
some examples of where it can lead?
Yeah, I mean, I think we all see that in our lives. I mean, I think one that we see in the mental health realm is suicide, right? I mean, to a level of despair that reaches that. I think it can lead to addictions of many kinds, right? I think it can lead to sort of the deterioration of the spiritual life. I mean, those are three really big ones, but it could lead to a deterioration of family life, right? So Those, I would say those would probably be the biggest ones that come to mind. But I think oftentimes it can happen in smaller parts in many different areas of our life, and then it sort of compounds as well, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the consequences can fall in many different areas, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and another thing that I know that many of us are tempted to do when things start getting rough or stressful or anxiety-producing or depression-producing, that one of the knee-jerk reactions that a lot of us can have is to turn to our work. Let's talk about work for a minute. You know,
we turn to our
employment, those things that we're meant to be about. And I was just talking at the top of the show about our role as carrying Christ to the world, that there is work that Jesus has us to do as well. And we can even become so obsessed with that that we start leaving other things out, things like, as we already talked about, relationship, but also things like recreation and play and things like that. So I guess any suggestions you have on how to avoid things like becoming a workaholic and focusing so much on work that we neglect the other parts of life?
Yeah, no, I think it's a big question. It's a tough question. You know, obviously, we weren't made for work, you know, and so I think in America, we have a work-first mindset that can be a little destructive at times. But I think it's all about, again, I think back to what I said about making space, right? Like, I think if you can focus your time enough at work where you can get it done without distractions, right? And there's so many different distractions. I think it allows you to truly make space enough to have room for your free time. I think and maybe this is taking it in a different direction, but I think technology, especially in work, has allowed us to kind of put things off in a way where we're almost forced to bring work home because there's so much of it all the time. And so I think what you can do is just set really good boundaries for yourself, right? I think that's a big word that we hear a lot about, boundaries at work so you can get work done, and then boundaries when you're off of work so work doesn't creep in, right? And I think maybe like a first easy step is just take your work email off your phone. Because it's just so easy, right, to just take 5 to 10 minutes, and then it turns into an hour, and then you've been checking your work email for an hour.
That never happens. What are you talking about? Yeah,
it shouldn't, right? Like, nobody hears that and says that they want that in their life, but it can just creep in so easily.
Yeah, it's a good point. All right, so in the midst of all this, we're talking about self-care and things that we can do to help maintain good mental health, good practice, good self-care, that sort of thing, in the midst of everything that's threatening right now. But yes, it does reach a level sometimes when you need some professional help as well. I mean, you work for Novara Counseling Center, and that there you see people, you talk with people who are facing some of these things. What can be a good thought as to when it might be the right time to bring somebody else, somebody who's educated, skilled, experienced in dealing with these problems? When do we bring them into play? When do we seek out professional help?
Yeah, I would say, you know, I think that can be a different time for different people depending on their station in life and where they're at. But I think whenever is always a good time. Whether you find yourself like just starting to realize you're struggling, whether you're in a deep pit of despair, I think seeking help from someone who's there to connect with you, to care for you, to work through things with you can be helpful at any stage in your life. It could be helpful if you're not going through any struggles, right? Like just to have some connection, to have someone to work through some things. So I think, and maybe that's an unhelpful question, but I think anytime you feel like it's the right time, it's the right time. Because I think it can be helpful at any stage in your life.
Mm-hmm. I know my doctor recommends that I come in every year for an annual physical checkup. Is there anything like that in the mental world? Should we be going in for a mental checkup sometime?
I wouldn't say there there's anything quite like that. I mean, there are mental health assessments you can certainly take and do testing. I think we probably should implement some sort of, hey, just do a check-in, just see where you're at. Unfortunately, I don't think anything like that really exists that seems reasonable right now. But I would say, as far as like just going in for a checkup, I would say like probably testing of some sort might be your option. But even like you could set up an appointment with a counselor and do a check-in. And I think it could easily work where you would find that, oh, things are looking good. Maybe I don't need to continue, but you would always have that option to continue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, that seems to make sense to me. It seems to be reasonable. And I guess with that, as we are nearing the end of our time together here, Joseph, do you want to tell us how we can get in touch with Novare Counseling Center?
Yeah, I would say maybe the best way to reach us is probably going to our website. And that is novarecounseling.com. Has all our information on there. It's a really easy way to kind of look into each counselor, to look into the services we have. It's a very easy to use website. So I would point people there, because our numbers are on there. I believe our emails are on there to contact us as well. So I would say that's a place to start. Otherwise, you could always do a Google search and get our phone number, and give us a call, and that would be an easy way to reach us as well.
All right. Well, sounds good. Joseph Lunston from Novare Counseling Center. So glad that you could join us today. Good mental health in this year to come, and thanks for being on Practicing Catholic.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right. Take care. That website, again, for anyone interesting, is novarecounseling.com. That's Novare counseling.com. All right. Time for another break. But when we come back, we'll learn about an exciting summer leadership opportunity for the young men and women of our archdiocese. So stay with us.